I want to continue where we were Sunday morning, dealing in particular with the last part of that verse in Matthew 4:10. I'll read that to you in a few moments, but I want you to turn with me to begin with to Exodus 33. Got two Old Testament passages. And then it's more or less just some things for you to consider. And I would greatly if you have an interest in hearing from the Lord, I would appreciate your prayers. If I was had a lot, well, just much intelligence, I probably would not be here. Not all of you say amen when I use the word much intelligence. There's a few out there that think I might have a little left. But it's been so long since I've been here, and with so little time left to leave, and most of you are under my generation, leave you and these under my generation anything that might be beneficial to you. I want to come every opportunity I can get, and possibly can make it here for you. Though it seems that our words have little effect, I don't control that. That's in the hands of God. And whether He affects your heart with it tonight or not, maybe one day down the road, you thinking that you have forgotten everything, He might bring back a verse or a sentence to you that might be used to awaken, make your heart become more active in the pursuit of our Lord Jesus. And I keep insisting, probably will, for you to pursue God. You didn't find enough of Him when you found Him. And I know that's speaking in terms of humans speaking about the Lord, and sometime after we found Him, we found out it was He that found us. And we like the one that went to carry the message of the Messiah being here, and he said, "We have found Him." And he used correct language. He had. But only God could awaken and stir an interest in him for him to search for. And then God had to make himself known for him to carry the news back. We have found him. And I hope that you moms and dads will continue to press upon your young ones the need to get to Him, find Him. And we can continue to pray to that end. Now, before I read any of this, and study-wise, it's been very limited these last 3 days, but God never has used a lot of very intelligent men. So it's dependent upon Him helping. Though none of us should shun our responsibility in seeking the Lord daily, in that you must always be looking. Only God can instruct me. Now, He's ordained the preaching of His word, and He can instruct you in that if He will grant you ears to hear. So before we read, and I trust you will join with me, that we unite our hearts together as much in this as in singing to seek the Lord. Our Father, it is by Thy mercy and great goodness and loving kindness that You permit us here again. None of us know how long it will be before the doors that sound out truth are closed. And if we gather, it will be in secrecy, somewhere behind closed doors, somewhere shut off from religion. But until that time, we thank Thee for granting us this mercy. For surely it is that and nothing less. And now, Father, in our gathering, we continue to beseech Thee, come, hear us, O Lord. How long will it be before You visit again Your work, before again You open the heavens and shower upon us, for we'd be grateful for just a small rain. Until You do, we'll continue to ask, and we do that this evening. And Lord, this younger generation, my Father, have mercy upon them. Make the weight of eternity bear upon their precious little souls. And their great need of getting to Thee. Now help all here in hearing, and be merciful and give wisdom and the speaking ability to instruct these and direct us by Thy Spirit all to Thy glory in Christ's exaltation. We pray in His name. Amen. And you remember Sunday, I set before you the first part of Matthew 4:10. Where Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And I won't take time to go back and bring that up again, though I have hope that we will come back to that and labor that point. But tonight I want you to think with me about the latter part of the verse, last phrase. Number one, you shall worship. The object of your worship is the Lord. But there's got to be that personal relationship, thy God. And then after that proceeds, and only after that, and him only shall thou serve. Therefore, I think any minister in this day labors with a grievous and weighty heart for the lack of the activity of the Spirit of God, and that less and less as time passes. But I ask you to turn with me in opening this up. Prior to that, let me say, to Ezekiel 33. And do not think that it is any different in our day than here. For that which has been is that which shall be, and that which is today is that which shall again be one day, if the Lord tarries. It's just making a continuous cycle, like the sun coming up from behind the eastern sky, going down behind the western, making its circuit to the other end of the world and getting back to our east coast and rising there again. So this that was given to the children of Israel here is always beneficial. And I don't know but what more in our day. Ezekiel 33, and there are a few verses in here I'd like for you to read by way of instruction, by way of warning. Verse number 2, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. And then God places the responsibility upon those that hear the sound of the trumpet. Verses 3 through 6, 3 through 5, then the warning to the watchman that if he doesn't blow the trumpet. And folk, I had honestly, the Lord know my heart, I had rather die a pauper in the streets than to be an unfaithful watchman, or to preach for any motive other than God's glory and the benefit of your eternal soul. I want to do that as long as the Lord will give 2 or 3. I want to get the word from His mouth, and bring it to you. I don't sit idly Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Sunday and fiddle away my time thinking that, well, if I've got an hour, I'll get in there and I can arrange something and I will have fulfilled my duty for another service. I don't do that. I always wait, I always plead, always search. And until that which warms my heart from above is brought to mind and heart, I keep on looking and watching and waiting. Lord, how do I sound the trumpet this time we gather? What do I say? So I want to be faithful to your soul, whether you will hear or not. I have no control on that whatsoever. I just want to be faithful. God said, well, you do this and you'll deliver your own soul. And then when I do that, the responsibility in great and eternal is the responsibility laid upon you. If you hear the trumpet, if there's ever a warning in your soul that this is from God, God's warned me, God's spoken to me, then you must heed. He's not doing that to many. And don't ever think that I search through the scriptures so that I can find something to throw at any one particular individual. I never do that. And if it seems like it is for you, then you bow your head in thanksgiving to the Lord that He was faithful once again to have something to say to your soul. I spoke the truth with that last statement that I just told you. Now verse number 7, so thou, O son of man, I've set thee a watchman upon the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn at my mouth. And then 8 and 9 and 10 I won't read. I would ask you to go back and read, but for the sake of time and hoping to get through this with somewhat a clear voice, I won't read that. But they got to complaining. Well, if our sins will be upon us and we pine away, how shall we live? And for whatever view you have of God, this I know to be true. Verse number 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God's not up there looking at you, waiting for you to cross a deadline so that He can smite you and send you to hell. No, God has no pleasure in you. God's always saying, turn ye, why will you die? God called judgment His strange work. God's more like Himself when He's showing mercy. But God being God and that being He being holy, He cannot turn away His eyes from sin like sometimes we hide our eyes from the children. We know what they did or what they might be planning on doing, but we just get tired of always being there correcting them, and so we just let them slip. God's not like that. God's far more faithful to His than we are to ours. But this will always keep in mind when that bad day comes upon you and you think, Oh, there's no hope for me and I'm going to end up in hell. God does not have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. And the positive of that is but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from ye evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now I will quickly just tell you what verse 12 and verse 13 say. In verse 12, the Lord said that the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Don't think that because yesterday you were obedient, that's where we're going with this, him only shalt thou serve. Do not think that past experiences will get you by to live ever how you please. The day that you turn to transgression, in that day you sin, and in that day you die. Verse 13, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, and his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he committed, he shall die. God demands of you faithful living. God demands of you to be nothing less than obedient children, doing the will of your Father from your heart. Not an outward only, but from your heart. And then God said to Ezekiel, the last few verses, beginning with verse number 30, also thou son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto you, unto thee, as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their own covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. They would have been much better off going to the opera, listening to one of the old classics. Going to a good musical than they would have been going sitting under the prophet and walking away without obeying him. Don't do that, I plead with you, for your own soul's sake. Now one other in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter number 18. You know the history here. Why Jehoshaphat united with such a wicked king when he was such a good king. I don't know. He did it one other time. Why he dare put on Ahab's outfit, I don't know. He knew Ahab's a wicked man. Why would he want to listen to him? Why would he swap outfits with him? Did he not have discernment enough to know one or two things? Number one, that Ahab is wanting me to get killed so that he can take over my reign, my kingdom. Or number two, that when the army, the enemy saw Jehoshaphat dressed up as Ahab and they smote him, then they would turn, go back home and leave Ahab and the rest of them alone. I don't know why. I don't know if Jehoshaphat was just a simple-minded man, or if he was a man that wanted to please everybody and never wanted to cause any fuss. Just live and let live. Get along with everybody. You can't do it, children. You can't do it. For whatever reason, he did as a wicked king said. Now, Jehoshaphat has got some false prophets there. All of them say, go. And he listened. Jehoshaphat listened as these lying prophets told Ahab to go. You're going to come out victorious. And he knew they're not telling the truth. He did have enough discernment to know, I'm not listening to the voice of God through those 400 prophets. But in all and after all, the mercy of God was extended to Jehoshaphat for joining affinity with a wicked man. Therefore, you want to put a category out there. Everybody that doesn't go to church is wicked. And everybody that attends, well, they're all right. Now, if the Lord spares you and you keep on growing in grace, you're going to find out that most that call themselves Christians are not who or what they say they are. But in mercy, the Lord delivered Jehoshaphat from him joining up. Paul said that you can be carried away by deceivers. You, the children of God, he's writing that to the Corinthian church. All right, verse number 16. Ahab finally submits and says, okay, there's one over there, go get him. And here's Micaiah speaking. Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. God's children got to have a shepherd. That's why I read to you from Ezekiel 33. They've got to hear from the Lord where he would have them, in what pasture he would have them, in what pool of still water that he would have them drinking. And Micaiah said, I saw these as scattered sheep. And he said of the Lord Jesus that when he looked upon the multitude, he saw them as scattered sheep, not having a shepherd. And he had compassion upon them. Well, skipping on down, verse number 26. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him, that is Ahab. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. The Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so. One spirit enticed 400 prophets to go lie to Ahab. And they went. Jehoshaphat shouldn't have been in that company that day. He missed God. And they who venture among the seed of the scornful, they barely leave unscathed. He came close to death. He was dressed up in a wicked man's garments. Close to being damaged, taken out. Now, how many this night, oh dear souls, how many this night are in torment, and how many later on will be because they wanted smooth things declared? How many? Oh, tell me the truth, lie to me. I'd rather hear a lie than anything that might bring the least bit of conviction upon me. So they won't smooth things. They won't teachers that lie to them, even at the peril of their eternal damnation. They had cheated to his ruin. He listened and he preferred pleasing lies. So now I'm pleading with you. You do the best possible for yourself. If you give the shepherd your ear and your heart to deal plainly and honestly with you, you deal very cruelly and very wickedly to your heart if you do not give him your ear and your heart. Sunday night, a good friend, a very dear friend, had checked in, and he'd gotten sidetracked, not out of the way physically, not out of the way of outward sin, but he got sidetracked mentally a little bit. But I knew he would listen, and I gave him, to me, very strict, and to many it would have been very harsh advice as to the direction in which he was headed. Some folks I never will. God will not give me liberty to say, turn, don't go there, don't do that. But I knew he would listen to me. And from the text and that which I replied back, he called and said, I appreciate that. So folk, you deal well with your soul to take warning kindly, take it plainly, and take it faithfully. Every time that you gather. Now if you would, and this is getting more particular into him only shalt thou serve. But hearing is serving him. You can't do till you know what to do. And you can't know what to do until you hear. And you can't hear except there be a preacher. Well, I got a Bible. I know that. But there's just something that God has set aside during the preaching of His Word to instill in the hearts of His children that they can't get by themselves. And I know you can rise to great heights in the closet in the Scripture by yourself, but you can't, well, you get here what you can't get. So you do well to your soul. Thou, him only, shalt thou serve. And then, as I told you closing out Sunday, the prerequisite to all service is your heart. Worship. Don't care what you do. Don't care how faithful you are. If your heart's not involved in all things that you do, it's not done unto God. Now let me give you from Luke 17. Thou shalt serve him only, shalt thou serve. And any service not flowing from the spring of love is of no value. You don't love what you're doing. The old saying, a man that loves his work will never work a day in his life. A man that loves God has Christ in an exalted position in his heart. He'll never count service as that from a harsh taskmaster demanding more than I can give. All right, Luke 17:10. Now when you have served, always do this. So likewise, Luke 17:10. When ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants. We've done only that which was our duty to do. Whatever you do, however good you feel about that which you've done, and that could be right, and the feeling could be right. I've served my God in this. Then you look and say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I only did that which my master told me do. Why should I ever expect him to reward me? Now two things. When you've done all that you can in your service to the Lord, never ever look to your service as a reason to pin your hope of eternal life. Never ever. Him only shalt thou serve. That's a given. Do what he said. That's all the children of God. Obedient. In life, throughout life, unto death, obedient. But don't ever pat yourself on the back. Now here are two extremes. There are those who think that salvation gives them freedom to act, to think, to talk, go without any consideration of pleasing God. Whatever they want to do. I'm a Christian. I'm free to act. None of us are. We're servants. Paul said, I am a bondservant. I am a bondslave to Christ. He prized that position more than anything in life. Serving his master. Well, if I won't do it, it's okay. 30 years back, you did God a favor by asking Jesus into your heart. None of us are free. You won't be free tomorrow. If you are free, God didn't give you that freedom. And yet that which God demands of you, it's all in love. And second of all, there are those opposite of that who feel because I ask Jesus into my heart, I act like I want to. There's the other spectrum of this, those that feel that they can lose their salvation. And if their life is not in full compliance to the will of God, they live under a weight continually. They're afraid every step they take may be out of the way. Every act they do may be wrong or may not be sufficient. Those that think they can lose their salvation serve a strict master. They can't rejoice. They can't enjoy their daily walk. They're always fearful. So, never look to your works. Many great multitudes will gather this Lord's Day out of necessity. Gotta be there, gotta go. Those that have more liberty can gather on Easter and on Christmas. Not the child of God. Never look to your works, though outwardly you might be in strict compliance to what God has told you to do. Yet inwardly remember, there's not one thing you can do. Without me, you can do nothing. Not one thing. And sin not be attached to that duty. Now that may be buried so deeply within that you never realize it in what you do. But it's there. Well, I won't go today, but I sure don't want to. I want to sit one more time and listen to that old preacher, but I sure don't want to. You better get that straight before you head out, fool. Your service to God may be done partially, and yet you feel it's complete and good enough. Saul killed most of the herds and flocks. Saul killed everybody but one. And he'd been told of God, get rid of everything. And he sees Samuel coming, he runs out with a big grin on his face, saying, I have done the will of God. And Samuel said, then what's the meaning of those sheep bleating over there? Oh, I saved them for sacrifice. What's that king? Well, I wanted you to know that we came out victorious. And I wanted to lead him with a chain around his head and arms and feet down the street so everybody would know what a great victory we had. How much of our service is like a little one 2 weeks prior to Christmas? Waiting for Santa. And he's just good enough for 2 weeks to get his toys or her toys. How much do we do? Well, I just want to get in the pearly gates. Oh, my soul. Children, get your heart involved. Awake my heart. Good Master, what thing must I do that I might inherit eternal life? This, and this. Well, look at his good works. I've done everything you told me to. And then the Lord said, yet thou lackest one thing more. There's still too much of you involved in thinking that you deserve eternal life. Go sell all you got and give it away. Now, folks, there will be some wealthy people that exit life that will be in glory. Though they will be few. But though they are wealthy externally, there will be no one that enters until internally he or she has been made bankrupt. I hope that you'll give ear. And that the Lord thy God is the one reigning, ruling master in your life. Him only thou shalt serve.